Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John Stamey, and I want to welcome everybody out there in Internet Radio Land and WTWW Nashville, shortwave around the world, to the world premiere of the Sorcerer's Dictionary. This is a big night for us. We've got a great new show. I've got a great co-host. His name is Jason McClendon. He is from Cullman, Alabama. Now, all I got to say, Jason, is the stars had to align just right for Myrtle Beach and Cullman, Alabama to get together to do a show, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a phenomenal interaction.
It just kind of happened. It was just meant to be. The stars truly lined up, and I'm glad they did. You have proven in the last couple of weeks to be a very capable, very wonderful partner in this, and you're going to be a great co-host. And we've got a number of folks that you are friends with listening in, and we will have thousands listening in on WTWW Nashville. And we're glad to have all of you listeners here. So we're going to get started with the Sorcerer's Dictionary. I want to tell a story. Jason, may I tell a story of why we call it the Sorcerer's Dictionary?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. One of my favorite authors is the literary giant Ambrose Bierce. From the last part of the 1800s to the first part of the 1900s, editor of the San Francisco Chronicle, considered by many to be the greatest literary figure. I mean, he ranks up there with Edgar Allan Poe in terms of horror writing. He ranks up there with Edgar Allan Poe and H.P. Lovecraft. And Jason, as you know, those guys are nothing to mess with, are they?
No, they're a pretty big deal.
They are a huge deal. And I'm very pleased. I've just always liked what Ambrose Bierce wrote. He wrote the classic, An Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge, that Rod Serling aired on the Twilight Zone. This is one of the most chilling 30 minutes of television ever. And I saw it premiere on, nobody knew what to make of it. It was the coolest thing in the world. And so as I grew older and learned more authors and became a real fan of great writing, I came across a one-page story called The Difficulty of Crossing a Field. Never have I seen such a great short story that's one page long. And it is about, all I'll say, because Jason, I think I've sent you a copy, and I'll get this posted up on our Facebook page here as soon as I can figure out how to post a PDF. But it's about a farmer who vanishes in his field, and basically he stepped into a portal. Now, we know portals a lot from Scarycast and Robin McCrae, who is the queen of Scarycast. She is very familiar with portals because she deals with Bigfoot a lot, and she has portals in her yard. I have seen Bigfoot come and go, and it's terrifying. These portals are nothing to mess with, but it's amazing that Bierce wrote this story in the 1870s. He envisioned could gobble up a person, and it was a phenomenal story. And then I found his greatest work, which was a collection of satirical definitions called The Devil's Dictionary. He took a word and he would make fun of it in terms of today's political climate, The Devil's Dictionary. So when we were looking for a good title for our podcast and our website and all the things connected with it, the voice inside me just said, well, you love The Devil's Dictionary. This just needs to be The Sorcerer's Dictionary. Because I read somewhere that this guy Jason from Cullman, Alabama, might be a little bit of a sorcerer. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure I didn't get everything wrong. But anyway, so we've got the Sorcerer's Dictionary. It's going to be a lot of fun. We will be on every week. We'll be talking about devils. You know, when I say a devil, that will be a devil's dictionary kind of definition from the world of sorcery. We will have a topic. We will have guests. And we're just going to have a lot of fun. So first of all, glad to have you here. Why don't you give a shout out? Because you've got a good group of people that you know and you converse with on the web. And so why don't you just give them a shout out to begin with?
All right. Well, I have some members in my study group. A few of them aren't in the actual Facebook group, but they meet up with me, and that's Britt and Christian Johnson. You know, they're awesome to discuss this type of stuff with. And then in our group, you've met Ben. He's, you know, really well-read on a lot of the stuff that we talk about, and particularly a lot of the stuff in the Grimoire, or what is known as the Grimoire or Solomonic tradition. Got Rune Arts. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I know Rune is right, but and our discussions on grimoires and the sort of natural religion that was sort of a pre-classical religious beliefs that were more centered on the forces of nature rather than the anthropomorphization of the classical Greek gods. And, I don't want to leave anyone out here.
Now I'm going to stop you right there, because I am very well versed and experienced in the paranormal. I've been around it all my life. I was a research associate at the Ryan Institute of Parapsychology. I've seen everything. But when we get over into your realm, you're going to be a little bit of my teacher as we go through all the episodes that we're going to have of the Sorcerer's Dictionary. So the first question, I'm going to be stopping you now when I don't understand something. So explain what a grimoire is, okay?
Okay, a grimoire is, in a nutshell, a text of magical instructions. Typically, they're from the medieval and Renaissance period, but they're texts that have spells and most commonly instructions for conjuring certain spirits. There'll be a catalog of spirits, what they can do, and then how to get in contact with them.
Now hold on. You're not talking about a Martha Stewart recipe, are you?
No, they more so teach magical
systems. Oh, come
on.
Hey, Jason, what you got to know is I've got the worst jokes in the world. And I've got me and Rodney Dangerfield have a million of the worst jokes in the world, and we think they're funny, so you're going to have to start laughing at them, okay?
Okay.
Sorry, buddy. That's what you got stuck with on this podcast. Okay, please go ahead. Interrupt you for comic relief. You know how it is.
Right. Well, thank you, John. They essentially teach magical systems and a lot of spirit conjuration. One really well-known is called the Picatrix. It's probably one of the oldest known grimoires. It lays out an entire philosophy of how magic works that's based off of Neoplatonism, which kind of goes off the idea that there are different spheres of manifestation that go all the way up to the highest divinity and come down into the physical manifestation, and that working magic, you make use of the things in the higher spheres to cause changes on the lower spheres and in the physical world.
Okay. Now I've got another. I got another question, and this is very important.
All right.
Is all conjuration, if I use the wrong word, you're just going to have to go with it. Is all conjuration that you're talking about, is it all evil or is there good?
Oh, no, it's definitely not all evil. And there's different methods that could be perceived as evil, as in like spirit bullying in a way, because you'll threaten the spirits. But then there are some others, like to be found in a text called the Heptameron, that welcome the spirits in a more, you know, friendly manner. And but no, it's definitely not all evil, not at all.
Okay, because now we are going to have as one of our guests here within the first month, Robin McCrae. She's the queen of the Bigfoot.
All right.
She is a research associate of Dr. Igor Burtsev, who is one of the greatest Bigfoot researchers in the world. She is like my sister. I mean, I love Robin. I've known her for 5 years. She's one of the kindest, nicest people. And she said, you're going to be doing a show called Sorcerer's Dictionary? I said, yeah. She said, well, you got to be careful because some of those sorcerers are bad. I said, I've scanned this guy. This guy is great. She said, all right, I'll trust you. So she trusts me. No, she does. And you know what? This is a very frank and open and honest conversation about magic. That's what this show
right.
is. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
And we're going to talk about things that people are afraid to talk about, and I don't care. I really don't, because they need to be spoken about.
I agree.
So I'm just really excited. I'm sorry. I guess the excitement and my smile from ear to ear is pretty obvious right now, don't you think?
Yeah. I'm pretty excited myself.
All right, keep on talking, buddy, until I interrupt you and clarify some things. Next, what's your next statement?
All right, well, that's basically what a grimoire is, you know, a book of magical spells and instructions for conjurations, lists of spirits, things like that, as well as a philosophy or a system of magic that, you know, in some cases has been passed on through a tradition throughout the time period and the area that they were written in.
Okay, now I've got to stop you. I've got another question, okay? I'm full of questions tonight, but I've been dying to get you on this show to ask you this stuff. One of the most dangerous things, okay, if you had to guess, on my scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most frightening and dangerous thing in the world, it's a thing. Could you guess I believe the most dangerous thing in the world is?
The most dangerous thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, this is not scripted. This is like, you know, I'm just asking your opinion. What do you think Dr. John believes the single most dangerous thing in the world is? You can say, I don't know.
Based off of our conversation, yeah, I can't really give I have some ideas, but just based off of our conversations, but now, what do you think is the single most dangerous thing in the world?
Two people and a Ouija board.
Oh, yeah?
Because you do not know what you're letting in. Ouija boards work. My cousin and I, we were about 8 years old, and we played with the Ouija board one Christmas. And the thing came off, the planchet came off the board, and it was floating in thin air, and our hands were on top of it. And we didn't know what to do. I took my hands off, and she did too, and the thing fell. But we don't know what you are unleashing or what you are contacting with a Ouija board. You have got to be so careful, because you can get a severely evil demonic entity to just come prancing through the Ouija board and into your house. And frankly, That is not what I want, and I don't think you do either.
Yeah, that's interesting when you bring that up. I've never used a Ouija board myself, but really anything that you can use to contact the other side, if you're not contacting something specific, or if you're just playing like a scrying mirror is another example. I have a friend actually who used a scrying mirror and had a malicious entity come through and start wreaking havoc on her life. So, and scrying mirrors, that's what they do, is they open you up, or some call them magic mirrors. They are used as a tool to open you up to the astral plane where all these entities reside. And if you open that portal, you know, and just let anything come through, there's all kinds of things that can come through and wreak havoc, and because they feed off of it.
That is exactly right. And one example of a scrying mirror, and nobody ever thinks about this, but there was a story, one of the most famous stories of all time in the horror literature, and everybody knows it. It is the story of, oh my God, it's by Oscar Wilde, and it is, oh God, I've lost my mind. I can't even think about it. What is the story where the picture gets old, but he doesn't?
I'm
embarrassed.
I'm sorry, but I'm not really sure. I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, and this is terrible. We can have a caller in by now and remind me, because sometimes I get a mental block, but it is. It's not Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but it is, The Case of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde. I mean, one of those famous stories in history about the fact that the picture got old, but Dorian Gray never got old. And that's a takeoff on the scrying mirror. I mean, it just is. I mean, because everything happened in that picture. And it was covered over
right
with a cloth. And that's what got old, not Dorian Gray. So, you know, we've had, you know, great literature. I mean, and I hope you'll agree with me, great literature kind of talks about some of these topics that we talk about. In fact, you know, when I mentioned, if I may, I was in college and I wrote my undergraduate thesis on horror in H.P. Lovecraft. And H.P. Lovecraft said the most amazing thing. He said, and you can say, I don't know, because, again, I'm just asking you questions that I'm familiar with. What did Lovecraft say the most frightening thing is?
I don't believe I've read that one.
Well,
I'll take a guess. Insignificance?
Lovecraft said the most frightening thing is what you can't see. Buddy, I think he's right. I mean, all I got to say is, you ever seen Blair Witch?
I have not.
Terrifying. It is terrifying. And I've got, by the way, I'll give a plug to my website, my webpage on Facebook, Analog Horror. And I've got some great, great stuff on there. And a lot of it is what you can't see is totally frightening. And so everybody go to Analog Horror. And please give me a couple of likes. I would appreciate it. But, yeah, you know, great literature revolves around, you know, the great horror literature revolves around what we're talking about, I believe. So, anyway, we got another caller. We got a caller from area code 216. Is this Ben? Hello, is this Ben, or who is this from area code 216?
It is. My signal may be a little wacky. But...
All right, well, glad to have
you
on board.
Me?
Yeah, we can hear you. All right, so now, Jason, go ahead and continue a little
bit
with what you're talking about. Sorry, I interrupted you, and we got us a caller on the line. So, Jason, finish up on that thought, and then we'll take a question from our caller, okay? So, Mr. Caller, give us a couple minutes and let Jason finish up what he was talking about before I interrupted him with the picture of Dorian Gray and all that.
All right.
Scrying
mirror.
Yeah, the scrying mirror. And do me a favor. Describe that for people that don't know what that is specifically.
All right, a scrying mirror is typically, and it can be a mirror or one magician's methods for making one is to take a regular old picture frame and paint the back of it black, but it's basically a mirror with a black backing that you use to look in and channel your psychic awareness to be able to visualize into the astral plane.
Okay. Well, that's cool. All right. So, Mr. Caller In, identify yourself and give us something interesting to talk about or ask a good question.
Well, all right. I'm sorry if I seem garbled. My connection's not the best, but my name is Ben Youngdale. I follow a very, very shallowly known group called the Magi, which Magi members of nothing. And as far as questions, are you aware that mirror scrying is best done sitting?
I'm sorry, you're probably going to have to repeat that. Scrying is best done.
Comes to mirror magic, an obsidian mirror is what you're really after.
Yeah, I've read of different mirrors being made out of emerald and things like that, and obsidian.
With the black backing you described, it doesn't. And especially after just talking about portals and Ouija boards, mirror are the second most dangerous thing that I've run across in my study, next to a board.
Okay. Did you care to elaborate a little bit more on that?
Well, that would require the hope that those who are listening may or may not wish to the War of the Nephilim, because it all goes back to that time during Pangaea when there was the crossing between the veil of the physical and the spiritual realms, that the mirror magic, like what you described, actually does have a partial effectiveness even in today's world, with or without following any known precepts.
Okay, interesting.
Wow. Well, Ben, I tell you what.
The individual's experience with Ouija boards is so profound. Yeah, and yes, you want to burn it with fire, but at the same time, without knowing what you're doing, is that gate going to be closed even after you've destroyed the Ouija board or shattered the mirror?
I can't say from personal experience.
Yeah.
I can't say from personal experience that I've had any sort of experience with closing a portal after destroying a medium that was being used to contact the other side.
Now, Ben, that is a question that we're going to have to explore a little bit offline, and I'll want you to come back when we have Robin McCrae on, because she is, if there was ever an expert in portals, she is. And I think this would be a very good opportunity to talk with her about this. And so if you'd be okay with that, we'll set you up so that you've got a really qualified person to talk about it. I'm going to tell you what. We're probably pretty, you know, Jason and I are probably pretty well versed in this whole world, but I'll tell you what, there's some questions that we need to get some experts in. So Ben, if you're okay, we'll certainly have you back. We'll talk a little bit about that offline and we'll move forward with that, because I think that's an interesting concept. Is that okay with you?
Sure. Then I'll just leave the listeners with a reference point. The Adobe Indian wall paintings of the six-toed giants are a direct reference to the Nephilim of the Old Testament. Goliath from David and Goliath had six toes.
Correct.
That's all.
Yes, he did, and it is, like, amazing. I mean, the whole, you know, the whole idea of the Nephilim, that's a great concept. And, in fact, we might get Spencer Fisher. Jason, we might get Spencer Fisher online because he knows a lot about that. He's a very good friend of mine. He was former number two MMA in the world for a year and a half.
I've spoken to one of you, Desert Janoskwa, a Yucca Man.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
Bigfoot are referred to by a and the desert tribes, the I've spoken to them.
All right, so I tell you what we'll do. What we want to do is we're going to because we are a little bit garbled, but I want to talk with you offline about some of these questions. Jason, do you agree that some of these questions that Ben is raising are going to be good things for us to talk about in subsequent episodes of Sorcerer's Dictionary?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's all tied together.
I study the Hermetic teachings of the Key of Solomon. And unless someone from the Order says otherwise, I'm a journeyman magi by hobby.
Well, I mean, you know, these are great things, and they're probably beyond the scope of just our first episode, but they are not beyond the scope after we get going and after we start getting guests that are qualified to answer these questions. Is that okay with you, Ben? We'll invite you back on.
Totally
and,
up for it.
Okay, great. Well, and we'll both get up with you. So that's great, and thanks for bringing these topics up. I mean, that's why we're here. I mean, the Sorcerer's Dictionary, we are taking a can opener, Jason, and we are opening the largest Pandora's box, don't you think, of magic, of history, of literature. We've got some great things to talk about, and nobody else is doing it, so we're going to do it right here. And WTWW Nashville, that's the place to listen to it. So Ben, thanks. Those are good questions. You got any other good topics to mention to us? Because I've already jotted these down, and we're going to get answers.
A whole slew.
Ben,
I can go into divination. I can go into nature of fortune telling.
That's fine. We'll get online and we'll discuss these are going to be a lot of fun because there are a lot of questions to answer, and that's what we're here. Jason, are we here to get answers? Yes or no?
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Ben, thanks.
I'm here to educate those for themselves.
All right. Well, that's good. Yeah, you are getting a little hard to hear, but no, we'll get up with you after the show, and we'll talk to you about this. Is going to be great, and thanks. I mean, these are good. So I'm
sorry for the signal quality.
That's okay. We'll get that worked out. We can get that problem worked out. That's not a problem. But great to have you on the show, and great to have you asking these questions, which I think are very important. So I think we're gonna fulfill a good void that is out there, and we need to work on. So that's what the Sorcerer's Dictionary is for. I guess we never knew. We never knew until we had our first episode, did we, Jason?
Nope. Yeah.
No plan to survive.
We had a few ideas in mind, but
we never knew. But now we know. No, it's great. I mean, it's wonderful. I'm thrilled that we've had Ben on and asked those good questions. And I'm gonna pull some more questions out of you, Ben, and we're gonna work on those and get the right people on to answer them. So now, do what?
No problem. We're all always learning.
Yes, we are. We are. All right. Well, I tell you what. What I'd like to do, because we don't want to miss this opportunity, Our buddy Jason has come up with five devils or five satirical definitions of words in the spirit of the Sorcerer's Dictionary. So, Jason, do you have those in front of you? I don't know if I told you
that
or not.
Yeah, I got
them
right here.
You got them right here? Well, tell us, what is a sorcerer? What is a sorcerer?
All right. Sorcerer, a reality hacker, whereas the witch is typically viewed by most as a practitioner of the religions neo-paganism and envisioned as a woman chanting over a cauldron, and the magician who is seen as dressing in fancy clothes to walk about in circles through his temple. The sorcerer gets his hands dirty and messes things up with spells and conjurations of spiritual entities.
Well, buddy, I like to get my hands messy, don't
Correct.
You? What?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I think we are birds of a feather on that. But now, tell everybody, because some people don't know, I've already had questions this week when I was telling everybody we were going to do the Sorcerer's Dictionary. They want to know the difference between a witch and a warlock. So tell everybody, for those that don't know, tell us, what is the difference between a witch and a warlock?
All right. Well, by the definition, if you look into the etymology of the words, witch actually comes from the word Wicca, which means wise one, and warlock comes from the Old English word warlogi, which actually means oath breaker or in league with the devil. It was typically used to refer to people that were being accused of witchcraft in like the clergy and stuff as breaking the oath of Christianity. But it's typically come to mean in modern day terms a male and female practitioner of witchcraft. Whereas the witch is the female practitioner and the warlock is the male practitioner.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you a question that is not on your set of definitions. What is witchcraft?
Sorry, can you repeat that? You cut out for a second.
That requires a look to the Greek
word.
What is
witchcraft?
Witchcraft. All right. The way I would think of is witchcraft is typically the practice of the witches that trace their religion back to the practice of the Druids. Can be seen in modern understanding of the word too as the practice of magic, mostly in the natural world. So using things like herbs and stones and sticks and things like that. It's basically the same, ultimately all boils down to the same thing as sorcery, but technically it is a tradition that goes back to the Druids, the Celtic Druids.
Okay. Most of their oral histories have long been lost to us, even after the burning of Alexandria.
Wow.
Anything that remains are fragments of fragments.
Well, that's cool.
We'll be lucky to get a whole puzzle piece with what we know of the Druids in their order.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Now, let's see. The next definition we've got is, Jason, what is a sorcerer's apprentice?
A sorcerer's apprentice.
That's
we got here
hard to define.
A young practitioner of magic that learns under one more experienced in the art. The apprentice waves his wand and causes chaos, which his master teaches him to subdue.
In other words, the sorcerer's apprentice screws up and the master tells him how to fix it, right?
That's it.
Okay.
What's a spell?
Spinster.
A spell. Simply put, a command to the universe to bring about a desired effect by speaking it or by mimicking the desired effect using subtle symbolism.
Okay. So a spell is a command.
Yes.
So now what is the difference between a spell and a hex?
A hex is a spell that brings misfortune to another. This is the spell that is the favorite of the angsty teenage youth. Although not necessarily evil in and of itself, it is a form of magical attack.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Thanks for that one. And then I guess our last one, talk about Harry Potter. I made these suggestions, and you took them literally. Harry Potter in our culture is truly one of the most popular entities ever. So what do you think about Harry Potter?
Well, it's a book series written by J.K. Rowling about a magical caricature who learns magic from a school and defeats his most ruthless childhood bully. And by a magical caricature, I mean that the magic of Harry Potter
literally
does not really resemble real magic. It is very fantastical.
But at the same time, it does follow certain rules of warning for those who wish to actually look into magical practice. Kind of like a fable.
All right.
Interesting.
I know. We're going to learn every night. Everybody listening to this broadcast is going to learn every night that we're on about magic, about witchcraft, about things that people are afraid to talk about. And Jason, are we afraid to talk about them?
No, absolutely not.
No. That's why I think people are going to enjoy it. So all I've got to say is we've had a blockbuster first episode here talking about some definitions, talking about literature, talking about magic, talking about witches and warlocks. And we've got a lot more to talk about over the years. We're going to have a lot of fun doing this. So I want to say, this is Dr. John saying we're going to sign off of our first episode, the world premiere of Sorcerer's Dictionary. We've had a great time. We've had our great co-host, which is Jason McLennan. And then we've had Ben with us. And Ben, thank you for being here. And this is Dr. John.
Hello.
We'll be back.
Thank you for the honor.
We'll be back next week, and we're going to have a great time. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us for the Sorcerer's Dictionary, and we'll be back. Wild horses couldn't stop us, could they, Jason?
Oh no, no. We tame the horses with magic.
Thank you. You knew what to say. That is exactly right. It's good to have a local sorcerer with us. Thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you next week. Sorcerer's Dictionary. Take care. It's Dr. John signing off from the sun and fun capital of the world, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Take care, everybody.